Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where we're here to talk not about Drag Race Season 16. Today, we're talking about Drag Race UK versus the World. Duh.
Season 2. Due.
Saison 2.
La stagione secondo.
Sure. I'm joined by everyone's favorite international correspondent of Drag Race, B-Lack Boy. Matthew, thank you so much for being here today.
Derek, of course, of course. Wait, why are you thanking me for being here? I thought I'm a co-host now. Isn't that what this is?
Well, this is like the trial run. This is the trial. We'll see how this goes.
Not the first episode trial.
I'm joking. Well,
no, thank you, Derek, very much for doing this with me. I'm very excited to do this whole season with you, and it's only going to be 8 episodes, so I don't have to deal with you for that long.
You only have to deal with me for half as long as Kayla has to deal with me. So, so we had our premiere episode, and I would say, from my perspective and from what I was reading on Reddit, because Twitter is no longer on my phone, people, this is like a lukewarm response. People liked it. Some people didn't like it. No one was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people were very much underwhelmed. And I'm choosing my words wisely. I'm saying the word underwhelmed, not even whelmed, by the talent show. And I think it's rightfully justified that that was sort of the reaction to the talent show itself. But me personally, I don't carry the entire merit of an episode simply because of the challenge. I think there's a lot of factors to, like, grade an episode on. And I loved this episode so much, even if I do agree that the talent show was underwhelming in that regard. But with that being said, I think the reaction to that sort of challenge kind of affected people's perception of the episode overall, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And especially because the premiere episodes are always so, like, go, go, go. We have to do entrances. We have to do, like, show them in the workroom. We have to, do the challenge, do the lip sync. Yep. Like, it was very, like, fast-paced. And it felt like I didn't feel like I got to know people that well just from this one episode.
Right. Luckily, the person who went home, we've already seen 3 times. So now we have more time with everybody else.
And I just have to say, you know, as Mayhem Miller's defense attorney, I do not think she should have been in the bottom.
Oh, Derek, I don't know if I can do this podcast with you.
I'm joking. She should have been in the box.
Oh, my God. I thought you were being serious for a second. Oh.
I pulled out those acting chops.
Okay, acting challenge winner.
Scarlet Envy is not the only one who could slay an acting challenge. We'll just say that. But before we get into, like, the episode legit, it's time for Matthew's bit, which is...
Forgot about this.
which we're calling... What are we calling it?
Girl, let's do... Matthew versus the World.
Matthew versus the World, yes. Where he's going to talk about a highlight from an international season that happened in the last week. Mm-hmm. So, have at it, B-Lack.
Well, so, this week on International Drag Race, we see a cold front entering through the wet... No, I'm kidding. So... So this past week on Drag Race around the world, we've had 4 franchises airing at the moment. Of course, we have Season 16 and UK versus the World. But in addition to that, we have Drag Race Belgique and Drag Race España All-Stars airing at the same time. Now, Drag Race Belgique just dropped its first design challenge. This is the first design challenge of Season 2, and it was definitely an episode. I hate to say it. I do hate to say it, but it really only one person did well. And this is coming from me. I love a design challenge. A design challenge is my favorite sort of episode. But anyways, in Drag Race Belgique, Lulu Velvet won the challenge, and rightfully so. She was the one person who did well. And then we had lip sync between 2 queens. And Derek, I want to hear your reaction to these names. We had a lip sync between Chloe Clark and Sarah Logan.
You know what? the office ladies were going at it.
God, Karen from finance really should have made her appearance this time.
I actually just watched Mira Mangle today, this mm-hmm. morning, and she went over, like, the Belgique episode. And when I heard it was designed, I'm like, oh, let's see these looks.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Unfortunately, it was not a good episode for Drag Race Belgique. Not really. Many of the queens turned it out as much as I would hope. But Lulu Velvet, she had a really good, really solid look that I'm really glad she won. We lost Sarah Logan, unfortunately, RIP. She was the first eliminated queen.
So that is our international news for Drag Race. Going back to more international news from UK versus the World 2. So if you want to, like, hear about our thoughts on the cast, on the, like, promos and all of that, me and Matthew do have a video on his channel.
We do.
Yes, and it's, I think it's a good video. I watched it, and I was entertained.
I was entertained by us, too.
I don't remember. We were so tired. It was a long fucking day. I don't remember half of that, the conversations that we had. It was like it was like a new experience watching.
When
it.
I was editing the video, I'm telling you, I have like all these things. I'm like, I do not remember saying this at all. Like, I was like,
no,
when
literally.
Did this happen?
Well, you can like see in my face too. I'm like drifting off into oblivion.
We were like recording at like 11:30 at night. I don't know what convinced us to do that, but
I know.
If you listeners go watch that video, you can also find. If you're feeling really frisky, you can go into the comment section and find this comment. So for those of you who don't know or didn't see our tweets, somebody on this video commented and they said, talking about me, they said, I didn't know the white man was a humongous plus sized girl. And then after they said, and the man on the left referring to Derek looks like the pita bread from Sausage Party.
I will never ever recover from that.
I'm telling you, I laughed out loud when I read it. It was so funny.
I know. Well, Pierce, Runner Eye, he like DM'd me. He's like, Diva, this is crazy. I would never show my face in public again. I'm like, girl, I know. I'm about to go, I'm going back undercover.
No, literally. I mean, I thought it was funny.
No, I would much prefer you call me the pita bread from Sasha's Party than like, whatever, you untalented, stupid faggot. Like, I would prefer... At least I can laugh at the pita bread.
Right. Right. I was laughing at the humongous plus-size girl. I'm like, damn. Okay,
this
you guys...
bearded... He's a man, Maury. This bearded man. They're like, whatever, girly. Girly bop.
Did you guys not know I was a bear? Like... I was like, okay, it's not a secret.
So, yeah, that was a fun video. But we're just going to talk about the premiere today. Can I say something first?
Go ahead.
I don't like the format or even just the kind of idea of UK versus the world, even more now that we know a Global All-Stars is coming in like 4 months. This
right.
feels so like unnecessary.
Right, right. Why do you feel that way, Derek? Let me pull my therapy pen.
Let me like lay my head back and close my eyes. Give me a Rorschach test and I'll see Marina Summers in it. 8 episodes, you know, it's a WoW Presents Plus thing. It's like, it feels like there's not a ton of promo for it. And I feel like they're going to go so much bigger in the promo and the just scale and scope for Global All-Stars that, like,
right.
I kind of feel bad for these girlies. I feel like people talked about it for, like, a day, and then we all moved on to talk about season 16. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen anyone talking about this since, which, another thing, it sucks that it's airing during season 16 because it's
right.
going to get overshadowed.
Oh, I think it should be on a Saturday. Like, if they
the
had...
The same
this,
day!
Yeah, like, if they had season 16 on a Friday... UK versus the World on Saturday, and then I guess in some respects Espana All-Stars on Sundays. Great. That's like a whole weekend of Drag Race there, and no franchise is going to be overshadowing another in that regard. But I do see what you're saying. I think I do see like the redundancy between versus the World, especially now that we know like Global All-Stars is finally getting that momentum and finally moving. I guess right now I'm sort of seeing versus the World as a buffer before Drag Race UK actually does get its own All-Stars. Because this is still, like, a UK franchise, and then Canada versus the World is still a Canada franchise. I think it's just going to get sort of that buffer before we get to UK All-Stars. But I also wonder, Global All-Stars seems to be more, quote-unquote, exclusive than versus the World, if that makes sense. Like, Global All-Stars is going to be one queen per franchise. And so far, it's looking like every single one of those queens is, like, either A, a finalist, which is like the majority of them, or B, some of the biggest icons of Drag Race ever. It seems like Versus the World is sort of like a midpoint between regular franchise and then global all-stars, I wonder. It seems like more queens are going to get the opportunity to go on Versus the World before they get an opportunity to go on global all-stars, which I think is great. I would love all these international queens to get this opportunity. If it's easier for them to get on UK Versus the World than global all-stars, that's wonderful, you know? Because it at least still gives them a chance to go on a global stage. I don't know, like, what are your thoughts on that? On that, like, perspective?
Well, I guess I don't see anyone from UK Versus the World or Canada Versus the World also going on global all-stars.
Right, like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I guess it is giving more people a chance, but I feel like it's getting overshadowed by Season 16, it's getting overshadowed by Global All-Stars, so how much of a bump are these people really getting? Especially the people who go home early. Like,
right.
I feel like Mayhem Miller will have the same exact amount of fans and, like, opportunity as she did 3 months ago before she was announced to be on this season.
Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, I think the ones who are really getting the exposure from Versus the World are the international queens, are the non-Rue girls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, granted, if we look at La Grande Dame and Marina Summers, yeah, okay, yes, like, also let's put, like, a little asterisk there that they did win the first episode. Sure, spoilers. Oops. They did win the first episode, but I think even before the season, they were getting a huge boost and a huge attention from the fan base. Like, pre-season, I watched La Grande Dame go from 200,000 followers on Instagram to, like, 275, I think she's at now. Like, because I think, like, a lot of people might resonate with, like, these international girls that they haven't had an opportunity to get to know beforehand. So, yes, I do agree, like, Mayhem is probably going to get the same opportunities that she had 3 months ago. But in that same vein, she's also had the exposure of U.S. Drag Race and All Stars already.
That's true.
I really do think that sort of exposure is for these international girls.
I want to know what your opinion would be. We all know that All Stars 9 is going to have a non-elimination format. Do you think it would work better for a UK Versus the World season?
No. I'm sorry. I am... Okay. In some ways, I am open to Drag Race shaking things up. But in this case, I'm a Drag Race purist. But I think non-eliminations only work in all winners. I said it. I don't know. Maybe I just like eliminations. I think that just, like, inherently augments the idea of competition. That's just me, though. What about you?
I feel like it's something that could actually set UK Versus the World or Canada Versus the World apart from, like, a global all-stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Because
it's just a thought.
I can see that because, like, we can have a situation like Lemon, where Lemon is a non-Rue girl, but she's still from Canada season one, one of the more popular international seasons. But she didn't get a chance to even show RuPaul what she's good at. And okay, actually, no, I take that back. She did show RuPaul what she's good at, but they just, like, were like, no. Sorry.
They were like, anyway, bitch.
So I could see that being a good idea. I just like, as long as people go home. Oops.
You want to see dreams crushed.
I do. No, I want to see American dreams crushed.
And you got your wish this episode.
Mm-hmm. The manifest destiny dead.
So getting into the actual episode, they all come out on the main stage, which I just think is very weird for their entrances. And they're just, like, standing. There's only, like, four chairs. So, like, four of them get to, like, sit, and then, like, everyone else is just, like, clumped around standing.
No, because when La Grande Dame came out, and, like, I don't remember who was after La Grande Dame, but I just remember La Grande Dame just standing over everybody because, like, she didn't have a stool. Like, was it not tall enough for her?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that they were like, you can go to the back because you're going to literally, like, cover whoever you're in front of.
Right.
Take the front row.
BBC Three blew all the budget on the cash prize, so they can't afford any more stools.
There's no more chairs to be seen. We don't need to go through all of, like, the entrance looks, but did you have, like, a favorite, like, two or three looks that you really liked?
So, I loved Arantxa's look. I thought that was so adorable, so cute, so queef.
Oh.
What was I trying to say? I don't even know. So cute, so adorable. I really enjoyed La Grande Dame's. I loved her entrance line. It's just been stuck in my head all day. All weekend, actually. La Grande Dame. France, you know, like, it makes me giggle.
That's from that, like, Miss Universe pageant, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're, like, saying their countries, and she's like, ah, France!
France! And I think she did it during her Meet the Queens, too. It's very, very La Grande Dame. She's very chic, very haute couture, very... But she's also very silly, very campy, very kooky, and I really love that about her. Of course, we have to highlight Marina Summers, her entrance look and her entrance line. Like, specifically calling out the colonizers. Oh my god. When she said that, did you notice, after she said, time to give the colonizers the chop, they immediately cut to, like, Teresa and Mayhem. It's like, oh god. It's like, they immediately cut to the Spanish queen and the American queen. It's like, oh my god. On BBC Three, no less.
No, literally. My favorite entrance look, which, okay, controversial take, I wasn't the hugest fan of her promo look. La Grande Dame, her entrance look was everything.
It so art. So art that, yeah, I'm gonna use art as an adjective. It was so art.
And Matthew, I know that you have spoken with La Grande Dame. So if you wanted to text her my phone number, like, I would be okay with that.
Diva, I spoke to her. I said two sentences to her at a bar. What do you want? I don't have her number.
So I mean, now that you're best friends with her, you know, you can hype me up a little bit.
Well, you know, I can text my friends. I have my friend's number over at Drag Race Belgique, and they can get you her number.
Whatever it takes. I am crushing so hard on her after this episode. Like, she's, we all know that I'm like, yeah, I am like in love with Shereza May, like one of, I think, the most attractive queens out of drag. But La Grande Dame's giving Teresa a run for her motherfucking money.
Yeah, La Grande Dame is so pretty in and out of drag. Like, that is a perfect human. And, girl, listen. When I found out that La Grande Dame is 23, Diva, I was down bad. I was like, oh, this... I'm actually so jealous. I'm like, what do you mean you're 23? Like, she's a year and a half older than me. I was like, oh.
Well, she's a year and a half younger than me, so she's like right in between both of us.
That's crazy, though. I just, like, she gives off this energy of, like, a grand dame, you know? Like, a grand... I know it's, like, I know La Grande Dame means big lady, literally, in French. But, like, she gives off this idea of, like, a grand dame, like, just, like... But the fact that she's only 23, girl, good for her. And she's, like, already killing it on both France and UK versus the world, girl, good for her. But yeah. That look... Beautiful, iconic, and I don't know if you clocked this, but she, on Drag Race France season 2, during the talent show, they had all the season 1 girls come back, and La Grande Dame wore that same look there, so I wonder, like, how closely she filmed UK versus the World and season 2 of France, you know? It was very cool, right. Very, a very nice callback, and you know what else that means? One less look that she has to buy.
Very that, and this is a look that, like... It's, like, perfect for, like, a little... Just showing up to do a little, like, gig at France, but also, like, it works for an entrance look.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no, so many of these looks I loved. I loved Arantxa's. I love... Yes, I can pronounce her name now.
I loved... Arantxa.
We'll call her Ranch.
Ranch.
I loved Chariza's. I loved Keta's. I loved Hannah's. Jomber... Oh, never mind.
Well, I like Jumper's wig. I'll give her a wig.
I didn't understand why the snake... Like, what's the snake reference?
I don't know.
Okay.
What should I tell you? I don't know. I like the wig, though. I like a little snake.
That's all... Okay, let's talk about Jumper's for a second. Because this entire episode, she is talking about how she was, like, billing herself as the fashion queen on UK4. But they hated her fashion. And then she's like, you know what? I'm just going to be a stupid bitch. Because that's, like, funny and endearing.
Jomber's did make it through the whole season on UK4. She made it to the finale. Sure, she got cut right before. Sure, she didn't win a badge. But I don't know. She had her moments. Like, I know they always hated her fashion. But I also really enjoyed some of her looks. She had some really low lows. Like, that little orange number she had in episode 2, I think, when she sent...
Oh, drag is art.
I think it was episode 2. Yeah, yeah. She had some rough numbers, but she also had some really high chic looks. I thought her finale runway was amazing. I really think the only thing she has to redeem is, like, the validity of being a Drag Race finalist without a badge. So I think she only has to prove that she can win a challenge. Because I think a lot of people ridiculed her for, like, why did you make it so far without ever winning a challenge? You know, same thing that they did with Ellie Diamond.
So the first three in... are Tia, Hannah, and Arantxa, and they are actually, like, the stars of this whole entrance thing, because they're always always cut to them for little comments, and they're really being like stupid and silly. I love Arantxa so much. Like, I am obsessed with her.
She's so adorable and so sweet. Like, the whole time. I'm so glad you like her.
She is so good in confessional. She constantly was saying little stupid remarks that they would cut to. Mm-hmm. I loved her entrance look. Like, I, from the jump, was like, oh, I'm gonna stand this bitch. I know it. Yes. Also, the makeup glow up. They, like, showed some of her looks from her original season, and the makeup was rough. But she looks so good here.
That's what I was trying to tell you, like, in the YouTube video. Like, her makeup game has improved so much over the years. In fact, I think she has, like, one of my favorite mugs now in recent years. Like, she's just so pretty. And I do think that part of that is, like, her transition. And I think she's sort of, like, learned how to paint her face with sort of a new feminization, which is, and it's just beautiful.
Something that was interesting is that when Mayhem came in, they kind of set her up as, like a big force. Like, everyone was like, oh, Mayhem Miller, like, she's the one. And like, knowing how the episode ended, like, I could see where that, like, storyline was going. But it was just interesting that, like, of everyone that was in there, like, Mayhem was the one that people were like, oh, we have to watch out for this bitch.
It was definitely, like, the biggest reaction of all the entrances was Mayhem's, which is very interesting, because I don't think Mayhem, unfortunately, didn't make a big splash on either of her seasons. So it was very interesting to see, like, she was, like, the one that was like, oh, we're up for a challenge, bitch, you know?
Well, it's interesting that Mayhem is one of those queens who is, like, so good at drag. Like, she's so good. There's a reason why she's been a staple in LA for, like, 20 years now. She's professional. She's amazing. But maybe that doesn't always translate to Drag Race. And I feel like we've seen that with Mayhem now three times.
Yeah, there's a certain category of queens that are amazing at drag, bad at Drag Race.
One of my favorite quotes of the entire episode was by Theresa May, who says, "No double eliminations, only double penetration."
When did she say that?
When she was talking about, like, her elimination from UK3.
Jesus Christ, Theresa.
There are so many just, like, funny little moments. I was jotting down quotes, and I'm like, there's just too many. After everyone's in, we get, like, a secret 12th queen, and it's Raven, which they already did, like, last year.
On more black representation on the season.
Please! I'm over, like, okay, I love Raven. She's an incredible, you know, makeup artist. She's, you know, changed drag. But does she need to be on every single season?
Right. Like, okay, it's like, the world's worst-kept secret that we know that Raven does RuPaul's makeup still. And it's just, like, the fact that they keep using it as a gag is not necessary.
Like, I get that she's, like, you know, right there. But, like, she's in the workroom, like, giving, like, you know, helping the girls. And, like, she's on the runways and she's fake out contestant. It's just like, okay, we could pull someone else in for a gag if we need
it. Right. Right. What if they just, like, randomly got, I don't know, Danny Beard to show up?
Yeah.
And say, hey, girls, I'm throwing in my hat in the ring. You know, like, that sort of, like, imagine they try to, like, fake them out with, like, an Isis Couture moment. Mm-hmm. That would have been a gag.
No, exactly. Lawrence Chaney. Yeah, no, that would be iconic. Also, interesting that Raven's never been a lip sync assassin on All Stars. Like, she's literally right there. And she's an incredible lip syncer, so why wouldn't you use her?
I think that'd be a good idea.
So RuPaul enters the stage and says to everybody, hello. Hello, hello. Literally, she was going through it this episode. Yeah. We see next episode, she's not even there. Right. I think if this wasn't the premiere, she probably would not have been here. But she's a professional, and she did the best that she could with, you know, the conditions she was under.
She just needed to pop a Mucinex.
Well, like, as a whiny baby when I'm sick, like, I would have done worse than she did.
Right.
So
I'm like, can't we wait to film, like, another week? That's what I would have
said. No, literally, like, make them wait in their hotels another week. Like, I'm not doing this.
Right. We'll pay them for the troubles, I suppose. Now that we have a 50,000 pound budget.
So she introduces the season, says that the regular UK versus the world rules are in effect. Mm-hmm. And the season starts. They go into the workroom. They all start mingling. We right off the bat get the UK committee. Because there's four UK queens, and they kind of start an alliance.
Mm-hmm. It was really funny when they started off and Tia Coffey was like, she said to Teresa, "You represent, amongst all four of us, a single challenge win in the UK."
Exactly.
That was so funny. So genius. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting already seeing like all the girls starting to mingle and the UK already forming an alliance, which I hope that they rescind on. I hope somebody betrays them.
Well, Teresa was the one that was kind of like, I don't know about this.
It would be smart to see where like your alliances might lie. If you want like to play a good game in the season, you might want to align yourself with somebody like Marina Summers or La Grande Dame, you know, who kicked off the season with a challenge win that sort of came out of left field. Like, they are already dominating in your home turf. You might want to play a nice game with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we see next episode that Jombers is literally going to leak the whole thing to the entire room. So, like, I think things could get interesting there.
Yes. It's only been once we've seen a queen break their country's alliance. Like, that was when Isis Couture sent home Stephanie. That was the only time we've ever seen a single country, like, eliminate themselves. And, of course, it had to be Canada. Like, it's always Canada getting eliminated.
Curse. There's no Canada in this season for a reason.
No, exactly. It makes me a little worried for Global All-Stars.
Please.
And then we also get Scarlet Envy and Mayhem Miller doing a rundown of the room with Mayhem not knowing a single bitch. Did you identify with Mayhem in that moment, Derek?
I was like, girl, me too, the fuck? But okay, that's another thing. When they were like doing the, because they do the like masked singer reveal or whatever that they do where like they lift the like the wall and like reveal the queen in the beginning. Mayhem didn't know any of these. She was like, they were coming in and she was like, oh my gosh. Like, she.
Is that Marina?
No, literally. How many of them do you think they would like unveil like one of the international girls and they all were like, pretend that we know who she is because we don't want to be shady.
Well, we literally saw Teresa have to lean over to Mayhem and be like, it's Jombers. Like, it's just so funny. And so we watched Mayhem light up when Scarlet Envy was revealed because she's like, I actually know her.
I know one of these bitches.
But Mayhem did not recognize a single bitch. And there were some that we saw more than others not being recognized by any of the girls. Kida Minaj, when her veil was unveiled, you know, I don't think many of the girls recognized her. She got the quietest cheers. You know, they were like, who is this? And I think that's just, I'm sorry, but I fear that's just a byproduct of being a queen from Holland, a canceled franchise, you know.
Well, because, like, if they knew who she was, they all would have been like, oh, holy shit, no way!
Exactly, because Kida Minaj is, like, one of the strongest competitors Drag Race has ever seen. And I think a grand total of maybe, like, 30 people watched Drag Race Holland. So, like,
and that's the entirety of the population of Holland.
It was just literally all of Amsterdam, and that was it.
Yeah, so there's not really a ton to talk about. Just wasn't time to really focus on any of the queens. We just got a little bit of, you know, somewhat little sprinkles of like alliances being formed. Mm-hmm. I hope next week that there's more room to like let everyone breathe and like see the dynamics that have formed.
Yeah.
So we have the talent show, shocker. And it's, I guess we'll give them our close cases, our cold cases, our open cases based on everything, the entrances, the challenge, the runway, like overall, how did this queen do from the entirety of the episode? And we'll start off alphabetically with Arantxa Castilla-La Mancha, who in her talent show had a wet dream where she explained how to say her name, which as someone who had no idea a month ago, I appreciated. and then the runway prompt. The runway prompt was like, show off your culture. And she has this like stunning look with like flowers and fringe, and it's there's a lot going on, but I think it all worked. So what did you think about Arantxa this week?
Her entrance look, loved. Runway look, loved. The talent show left a little much to be desired. I thought it was a good idea. It's just unfortunately there wasn't much there. But despite there not being much, she dragged that shit out for like 90 seconds. You know what I mean? I liked the idea. Like, it was very funny hearing all the girls trying to say Castilla-La Mancha, you know, after repeating after her. But unfortunately, it just, like, the vision wasn't there for me. However, did you see what she posted on her Instagram story the other day?
No.
Apparently, she improv'd to the talent show the night before. Because her original talent show didn't work out, so she changed it the night before. And I'm very curious to see what her original talent show was.
I loved this. Like, as someone who loves campy drag and stupid drag, like, this speaks to me more than, like, a dance number, to be completely right. honest with you. Because we've seen 70, 80 dance numbers at this point with talent shows. So anyone who does something even just a little bit different and outside of the box, I live for. Yes,
bitch, work. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like, I thought this was so funny. And then she was like, oh, you all sound like idiots. I'm like, you better work, bitch. And it was so smart to, like, make fun of the, like, stupid Americans can't even look at my name and, like, know what it, like, how to pronounce it, which
right
me, it's me, I'm stupid American.
Right, like, I thought it was a great idea. Like, everything, like, the first 45 seconds I thought were genius, like, just the Iran Shah, you all sound like idiots. And then she kept doing it, like, again and again, and I was like, okay, what else is she gonna say here? But I think my favorite moment was when the doorbell kept ringing and RuPaul said, is anybody going to get the door?
RuPaul was sick as fuck, but she was on. She was still on her game. Like, she had so many little, like, quips.
Yeah. It was like, it's more energy than she's ever shown in, like, Down Under.
So it's like... that's for sure. I would give her a close case. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see more from her. I loved her personality. I loved her quirkiness. I loved her fashion.
Yeah.
Everything about her this week for me was a slam dunk. So, total close case.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a close case as well.
Next up, we have Choriza May, my favorite on this entire season. She did a dance number dressed as, like, a neon devil. Can I say something a little bit controversial?
Go ahead.
This was my favorite runway look of the episode.
I could see that. It's definitely an opinion you have.
We all know
it's definitely an opinion. Them. It's definitely an opinion that the drag detective would have.
Please, okay, bitch. I didn't love Choriza's talent show, and when she was called to be, like, critiqued, I thought she was gonna be low. I think the bottom. I know. Well, I think the bottom two was really obvious, but, like, who was going to be low. Like, I think a couple people could have, like, taken that spot. And Choriza was one of the ones that I was like, I could see them not living. Because it's not that she's a bad performer. It's not that she wasn't, you know, solid in her, you know, everything. But it just didn't go anywhere. Like, she lip-synced to a number that she, you know, and that was it. And it's like, okay, we've seen this before, and we've seen it done better many times.
Oh, how dare you, Derek. Well, I must say, I love the song. The song is so catchy. Welcome to El Inferno. Like, it's so good. I was bumping to that today. You know, I go and rewatch it and listen to it. It's a good song.
Is that on Spotify?
No. I just go rewatch the episode. I just went to rewind the episode, and I was like, welcome to El Inferno. It's just so catchy to me. And very Choriza, because she's hot, spicy, and, I don't know, Mediterranean, I don't know. I loved her runway. I would put it at, like, probably my second or third favorite runway of the week. I agree with you there. I liked the talent show. I would have put her as safe. And she performed it well. Like, she gave it her Choriza May energy. At least I appreciate the effort of, like, making it an original sort of track, rather than, like, as Scarlett said in her talent show, you know, write a song about snatching the crown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was something a little different and something a little kooky. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm going to give her a close case. Yeah, I thought she had a really good week. Good entrance look, great runway, and a really fun talent show. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I would give her a closed as well. To me, she was safe as fuck. And it was interesting how Choriza and Scarlett both kind of had the same journey on their original season, where, like, they consistently did well, but they just didn't get the flowers that they necessarily deserved. And they went home probably sooner than most people wanted or expected. And it's funny how, like, they gave Choriza this, like, moment to shine this episode, But then for Scarlett was like, fuck you, you ugly bitch.
The one time we think Scarlett's going to be appreciated. Girl, get the
nope. fuck out. Literally. Next up, we have one of our bottom two, Gothy Kendall.
Yes.
Listen, for every James Mansfield that comes back, there's a Gothy Kendall.
That's fucked up.
I'm just going to say it. That's how I feel.
Derek, please explain what you mean by that. Explain to the audience.
Someone like James Mansfield, who went home first, I think we all saw the potential. There's always going to be potential because we didn't see much. And when James came back, you could see the growth. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see growth in Gothy that is warranting her return, if that makes
sense. Growth,
like,
I saw growth on Gothy's OnlyFans.
Yeah. Oh, it was lots of growing. I think her fashion is better. Obviously, she has more money now. But it's disappointing to see that her stage presence and performance hasn't gotten better.
Mm-hmm. I think she's gotten more confident. I do think that. But there's still a certain level of her that's... I mean, you know, we saw it in the talent show. Hannah commented on it in her confessional. There is a certain level of Gothy that is still surprised by the talent that she possesses. I was more than excited to see Gothy come back. And I still am ecstatic to see her. It's just unfortunate to see that this was, like, her second chance at a premiere. And it still didn't go well. But we'll see how it goes out from here.
We saw her do the fleshing, which we saw She Needs a Woman do on Drag Duel for our talent show.
Okay, go watch.
Yes. So it's kind of like I have something to compare it to from the jump. Mm-hmm. And She Needs a Woman... one with that performance and like annihilated with her chemistry and just like stage presence, whereas right. like Gothy started out lip syncing and just stood there and was waiting for the time where like she, you know, takes out the flaming, what are they, marshmallows? I don't know what they have. Little like
marshmallows.
That's what it looks like.
And even when she started doing the, what is it called, what do you call it, the smut, what?
The fleshing,
the way the camera was cutting to it, it looked like she wasn't doing it. Like every time she went to go touch her skin, it looked like she was hovering above it. And I think that's actually just like a matter of the camera doing it. But like they did everything in their power to make sure that we thought Gothy should have been in the bottom too.
Well, yeah, like when Shanitza did it, she would have one that wasn't lit and one that was lit, and the one that wasn't had like the gasoline or whatever, and she would wet her skin with it and then set it on fire. Where this was more just like hovering over the skin. I think her runway was good, but it's something that we've seen before, and it was fine. It was good.
I have no drag experience. None. But I want to challenge queens that live in the United Kingdom to stop making outfits inspired by the British Royal Guard. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say, I've never done drag, but I think I could walk the runway better than her.
No, I would never say that. Because I don't think I can. Well, maybe. But I mean, okay, it's just like, if you hear the runway, if you are from the United Kingdom and you hear the runway theme is called For Home and Country and your first thought is the British Royal Guard, I think you need to think outside of the box a little bit. We saw Teresa come out as Britannia. You know, I guess John Burns was a Shamrock. That was also a little... Who's the other UK bitch? Oh, Tia. Tia had a wonderful look that like combined her heritage and... I don't know, like, if you come out as a British Royal Guard, I don't know, just, like, is there... We've seen it so many times on Drag Race UK now. Specifically Drag Race UK. Vicky Vivacious. I think somebody else did it on season one as well. I don't know. It's...
I feel like... And she obviously didn't see Vicky Vivacious's before she did this. I think Vicky Vivacious did it as good as you could possibly do a look like that. Mm. And we should just... leave it in the past. We're done. No more looks like this.
Right. With that being said, though, I think this is a great look. I think Gothy served the runway. I think Gothy had a really good look.
Okay, you shady bitch.
Wait, hold on. Fuck, I'm so mean.
You think I'm the mean one? Jeez.
I didn't say anything. But I do think it was a really good look. I don't know much about Gothy's career. I don't know if she is a designer herself. But I really enjoyed this look a lot. Her talent show had its moments. The huge flame at the very end was great. It's just that she was so shocked that it worked.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a cold case, unfortunately.
I'm going to give her an open case. No, wait. I'll give her a cold case this week, I think.
Next up, we have... Is she from Australia or New Zealand? She's Australian, right?
Hannah Conda, yeah, she's from Australia.
Up next, we have Australia's own Hannah Conda, who does a kind of like... song, what would like you call that? It's like cabaret.
Is cabaret, it kind of that's the word. Yeah,
cabaret number, where she starts at the piano and she's like, lol, I can't actually play piano, so I'm just gonna let go sing. Yeah. And then on the runway, she did a frilled lizard that incorporated First Nations prints into the frill. What would you call that? What's that lizard's organ called? Is that an organ? Girl. It's not an organ, it's appendage.
Well, I wonder if it is an organ, because skin is an organ.
Yeah, it's some kind of whatever. Hannah had my second favorite look, I think, of this episode. It was
It was great.
So good. The colors were so vibrant. The patterns that she had were so cool. It was like head to toe. I love the detail of the blue tongue. And for someone whose fashion was kind of hit or miss on Down Under 2, like this is such an improvement. And her mug is always right.
That look was so fucking spectacular this week. I think I might put it at my number one, maybe my number two. I don't know if I have like the vocabulary to like describe why I enjoy it so much, but I guess I would phrase it in such a way that her coming out in a natural inhabitant of the Australian wildlife, and B, using it as a platform? Political statement. Yeah, like a platform, using the outfit as like a political statement on the status of, or status, the well-being and the land back movement for First Nations and Indigenous peoples in Australia. I found it to be really well done. I found a lot of layers to this look. I enjoyed it a lot. The talent show, I liked. It was a good talent show. I thought she had some good funny gags. With, like, time for the reveal. Wrong dress. You know, it was a very funny and very entertaining talent show. And she had, I think, one of my favorite entrance looks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was a really good week for Hannah Conda. It's just, a lot of it was really just on that runway look. That was a spectacular runway look. What did you think of her talent show?
I think it was good. I think the vocals weren't that great. It wasn't, like, the best vocal day. But I think that the gags and the jokes that she had made up for it. So I think she was like, she was safe. I think that was correct.
And I think she like knew that.
Well, I don't know. Cause when she was called safe, she made a little face.
Sorry, not in the safe portion, but I think she knew that her singing wasn't the best, but I think she knew that the gags were the things that were going to pull her through.
Yeah.
That's what I think she thought was going to happen.
She was safe for me, but I'm still going to give her a close case. Cause like the talent show was good. The looks were stunning.
Yeah, the looks really, so I'm going to give her a close case as well. Hannah Conda, good job. I think she's going to be a huge threat this season. I really do.
She's coming in with momentum.
She is, already.
Up next, we have Jambers Blonde, who, for the talent show, lip-synced and modeled a look, and on the runway did a shamrock look.
Yeah.
That was green.
Yep.
I think Jambers is very lucky that RuPaul wants Scarlet Envy dead and that she wasn't potentially bottom three. Literally. That talent show, there were moments, there were little funny moments that I liked. But it comes down to, if your entire talent show is about how you are like actually a fashion girl, like I didn't used to be, but now I am. I think you have to wear a better garment. The pea soup color look It was fine. It was... there was nothing wrong with it. It's right. just when you're talking all about fashion, I think there needs to be some elevation.
You need some Bob Mackie on there.
Something. I need, yeah, even like fucking Naomi Smalls, you know, her pose fashion song on All Stars 4. Like, that was yeah. a really interesting, fun look. And I believe her when she says that she's giving fashion.
Dare I say, even Milk on All Stars 3.
Yes.
I like that talent show. Let me throw that out there. But I thought it was a really yes. creative idea. Like, her idea, she's like, I'm, like, it's giving fat, or what did she say? Fashion, darling.
Touch the fashion, change
Touch
your life.
Touch the fashion, change. And she, like, has the Velcro. And yes, Velcro is a talent.
That song is an iconic. That song is so good.
Touch the fashion, change your life. But yes, I agree. Okay, I'm going to say this right now. I watched this episode 3 times. And when you said the name Jombers Blonde, I had to sit here for 30 seconds and I said, what did she do again? I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember her talent show, and I watched the episode 3 times.
They cut to, like, the queens a lot during these, and you could kind of get the vibe of, like, is yeah. this good or is this bad? She got a lot of, like, not yeah. thrilled faces.
It wasn't my favorite. And it immediately get an F- because she didn't make a reference to, it's JB in the house, y'all! So immediate F- that she didn't make a callback to that.
Mm-hmm.
The
what do you think about her runway?
It was good. It was good look. You know, like, I liked it. You know? Yeah.
It's giving, like, 1980s homecoming or prom look.
Yeah.
It's fine. I like the headpiece a lot more than I like the look.
Mm. I agree. I didn't like the skirt that much. I don't think.
No, it looked, it was bunched, but it didn't seem like, yeah, intentional.
Yeah, it looked bunched, but like in a jumbled way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But
her
that
makeup
is
has gotten way better.
Yeah. Oh, so better. But with that being said, I'm hoping the best for Jombers in this season. I want her to win a badge, just not with that talent show.
I'm going to give her a cold case, unfortunately.
I'm going to give her an open case because even though I did forget the talent show, I thought it was, like, good. And I think I liked her runway. Good. You know, so I'm going to give her an open case.
The editing of this episode was not the best, specifically during the talent show. There was some, like, awkward... It felt a little awkward at points, just, like, with the mm-hmm. editing. And I think it's because there wasn't an audience. Like, there right. should have been an audience, 1,000%.
I think, dare I say... I think they should put the other girls, the other competitors, in, like, the stage. Or not the stage, but, like, you know, like, the little area between, like, the judges' table and the stage. That's where they should put the other girls. That's just me, though. Because I think having them off to the side is really awkward. But, like, putting them in the actual audience, I think that's a good idea.
I think with, like, a roast or a stand-up or a talent show, either have an audience or don't do the challenge. Because, like...
Mm.
It's always going to feel more elevated and exciting when you have people, like, an audience reacting. Like, look at, like, the All Stars 3 talent show. Like, that felt like a moment.
Right.
But if you put that exact talent show without an audience, it probably doesn't have as, you know, like, nearly as much of an impact.
And, yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any reason why you don't have an audience.
Yeah. And even if you can't afford a fucking pedestrian off the street... That's what I'm saying. Like, put the other girls in the audience. You know, like, that's...
There's so many people who would do it for free just to right. go see a free drag show.
Exactly. Okay, exactly.
Yeah, I think that was one of my big negatives for this episode. And it's the scale. It didn't feel like we were, you know, doing anything special. And I think having just an audience would have really helped with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Up next, we have Kata Minaj, who does, like, an acid trip lip sync number for her talent show.
Say yay to Kay.
And then for her runway, she does a 2-in-1 look, starting with mm-hmm. a Dutch look that reveals into an Indonesian-inspired look. Yes. So what did you think about Kata Minaj this episode?
Love Kata Minaj. Love Kata Minaj. I'm going to start with her runway because I loved both the looks individually. I loved them a lot. But I didn't notice until the rewatch, until my second rewatch, that... You can see the reveal underneath the milkmaid dress. I didn't notice it when I first watched, which I think gave her some points. But then in my rewatch, I noticed I saw the red dress peeking out of the milkmaid dress. I was like, oh no. But both of the looks I thought were really, really good. She had this very camp and over the top look to represent her sort of heritage in the Netherlands. And I thought that was a really fun campy side. And then she revealed into like a chic, really sharp, really, really sharp looking look about to represent her Indonesian culture. And I was thinking that was, I thought that was a good way to really show the balance that she has in terms of her taste and fashion. Sort of like that dichotomy between camp and haute couture. The talent show I loved. Is there like a term between like and love? What would you say? Like
you loved it.
I loved it. So I really enjoyed her talent show. There were a couple moments where you noticed that she almost lost her footing, and you noticed those even in your first time watching it. But I thought her doing her gymnastics routine on the mushroom was so good. Oh, that was so good.
The core strength you need to do that.
That's right. Like, she was insane for that. I think Kina Minaj, one of the hottest queens ever out of drag. Like, girl.
Well, and she's 42. She looks 30.
I would say she looks like 26.
Okay. Sure. Right.
Damn. Call her wrinkled. Wrinkly ass bitch.
I could see the crow's feet, and they were wrinkled.
God, but she is like, yeah, she was absolutely insane for that. I just really enjoyed it. I might have given her a high placement. And my first watch, I would have said she deserved a high placement. On my rewatch, I might have been like a little more, you know. But she was definitely one of my favorites of the week. I really enjoyed the vision. I really enjoyed the uniquity of her talent show. Girl, she needs to go to the Olympics.
Well, and that's kind of like a setback a little bit for some of these queens like Keta and Scarlett and La Grande Dame, who have had really, really good talent show numbers. Like, right. They have to then try and, like, outdo that.
Right.
But not do... They have to do something completely different so that it's not just the same shit, but it has to be better. But it's a lot. They have more pressure on them, I think.
But I wonder, though, how much pressure would a queen who has never been on a RuPaul season have to do a different talent show? Like, what if Kida Minaj just walked out there and said, I'm going to do the same exact talent show because nobody fucking watched Holland. Mm-hmm. Who's going to clock me, bitch? You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the fans, but whatever. What if RuPaul said that would be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life? You know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to stop her?
I had big hopes for Kida Minaj's episode, big expectations, just because she is so hyped up. And I feel like she was very safe overall. Like, the talent show, I obviously remember her doing the, like, gymnastics on the mushroom, but I didn't remember anything else until I, you know, just did my rewatch. And I liked the first look a lot better than the second look. And I'm coming around more. The first time I watched it, I was like, this doesn't need a reveal. Like, the first look was so good. Isn't necessary. But, like, I understand why she did it, like, wanting to show off both aspects of her culture. So I'm coming around to it. I still think the first look is like way better and so fun and so cute. So overall, she's getting a close case for me. She did a good job.
Yeah. I also think she had my favorite entrance look, I think.
Yeah, she had a really good entrance look.
Yeah, she had an amazing entrance look, and I'm just so rooting for her because, like I mentioned earlier this episode, that when she walked down on the stage, girl, nobody knew who she was. Nobody recognized her. So I'm just like, I'm immediately like, okay, so I want her to do well. Like, show all these bitches up. So manifesting the best for her. I'm going to give her a close case.
Up next, we have one of the top two of the episode, La Grande Dame, who did the most wackadoodle shit for her talent show, laughing and cackling, and her pussy was cackling. and then... on the runway, she did both a frog and an Eiffel Tower incorporated into one look. I'm going to be 1,000% real with you, Matthew.
I didn't
love her talent show.
Don't.
The first time I watched it. The second time, I liked it a lot more.
Why? Why didn't she like it the first time, and why didn't she love it instantly?
You just didn't
get it, Derek.
The beginning and the ending were great. I feel like the middle needed something to just, like, it was, like, kind of just the same thing for, like, 30 seconds, and I was waiting for, like, okay. Then the saxophone came out, and I'm like, oh, that's what we need. We need her to, like, pull out the saxophone, do a little bit. And I still kind of feel that way. I still feel like the middle needed just something than just her, like, continuously laughing. But I still think that, like, the whole beginning and the whole end are still great.
When she went to go kick that poor pit crew member.
Literally, I was like, damn.
That's fucked up. He just wanted to play saxophone. Why didn't you say it all in French either? Talk to me in French, Derek.
Je ne pense pas. We can run back. Let's run back.
Je pas.
J'aime bien le grand dame.
J'adore le grand dame.
J'aimerais le grand dame. Le performance de grand dame n'est pas mon favorite, mais je préfère le grand dame de Mayhem Miller.
Periodo.
That was probably so wrong.
Anyways, le grand dame, obviously, that the bitch. Wait, obviously, like, the one. She's that bitch. That's what I meant to say. Her talent show, loved. See, this is the thing I love about La Grande Dame, is that you will look at her, and you instantly think she's, like, a Violet Chachki type, you know, where she is so good at fashion, so steely and focused on looking the best and being the most fashionable and being a model, that you don't think she might have the caliber to sort of, like, keep up in, like, silly comedy challenges or goofy challenges or being personable. This, I think, is so quintessential La Grande Dame, because I find her to be so good at all those things of being a runway, being a model, her eye for fashion, like I said before. She is all of those things, but she's also kooky, she's also silly, she's also campy. She's good at everything, I think. This talent show, I think, is just so kooky and wackadoodle enough that it's still tasteful. It's French. Claire, it's French. And then that runway, I think this is my favorite runway of the week. I love it.
It's up there, for sure.
I absolutely adore La Grande Dame. And just seeing her win a challenge first episode on UK versus the World. It's like the same energy I had when Pangina won the first episode of UK versus the World 1. Like, it's just, you know, just one of those things that I never thought in a million years would happen, but I'm just so happy to watch RuPaul give her her flowers.
I love the campiness. I love how she performed it. She's, like, so stunning while she's being a goofy, like, weirdo.
Exactly.
Like, she looked so cunty in her talent show while she was literally being insane.
Right. Like, that's just, I think, the genius of La Grande Dame. Like, she knows, she hits the middle ground so perfectly. She's a genius. I'm like,
yeah,
straight up, I'm going to give her a closed case, as closed as a case can get.
Yeah, closed case. Mm-hmm. Up next, we have the winner of the entire episode, Marina Summers, who did a dance number with some, what were those things? They were like, it was almost like, flags, like, it was like in the U.S. we have, like, the flag thing, but it was, like, yeah, obviously, like, different.
I don't know what to call them. I'm not familiar, yeah, with
it was the some kind of flag routine with these cool, like, glue in the dark, didn't they, when they turned the lights down, mm-hmm, and they were, like, flashing.
Yes.
And then on the runway, she did a rice farmer inspired look.
Oh, how glamorous. Farmers.
Right. No, literally, RuPaul was like, your farmers are stunning, or something like that.
Oh, glamorous farmers.
Yes.
You know, have you seen, like, those tweets that are like, what's your favorite obscure moment on Drag Race? That's gonna be mine, yes, in like 3 years. Like, oh, how glamorous farmers. Marina Summers, close case. Not even gonna, like, she, okay, the amount of love and adoration I had for La Grande Dame in this premiere, double it for Marina. Marina absolutely curb stomped this entire premiere. Probably, like, one of the top three best entrance looks, the best entrance line, the best talent show. I think, like, my third or fourth favorite runway look. This was Marina Summers versus the world, this episode. This was her episode.
It's Marina's world and we're living in it.
Exactly, exactly. The Filipino winner.
When at the end of the performance, Theresa May leans over to John Brisbane and goes, I think she's Filipina.
So good. It's so good. Theresa's so funny, but
she is.
Marina, I can't describe my love for her, especially seeing that validated in this talent show.
Yeah, no, she's getting the Pangina treatment. Like, everyone is like, holy shit, where has Marina Summers been all my life?
Right. Like, this is why I'm some ways glad that she's getting this opportunity to be on a RuPaul season. I don't know if she would have gotten this opportunity if she did win Drag Race Philippines season one. And you're right, it is that Pangina effect. Like, this, especially notably being an East Asian queen, getting this love from the fans, you know, having this explosive premiere. I'm just so happy for her, and I'm so excited for this season with her.
If there's one winner this episode, it would have been Marina.
Exactly. Exactly. Like undoubtedly, she had the best talent show. Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, literally, I don't have any critiques, any notes. I think that she wasn't the biggest in personality. I want to see more of her, like, talking heads and stuff. But when it came to everything else, like, she owned this entire episode.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't, unfortunately, get a close case is Mayhem Miller.
Well, Derek, thank you for having me. I think we're done here.
So for the talent show, she does kind of like a guided meditation.
A meditation.
And then on the runway, she does a Statue of Liberty look. And okay, listen. The amount of times I've been tagged and stuff on Twitter about this, and I knew it was coming because we all know the spoilers. I was hoping that it wouldn't be that bad. I was hoping that it was like, oh, she just like didn't do as good. And like, you know, this was potentially the worst talent show of all time. because like she just gave up. And people are saying like part of it could have been that like long COVID brain fog. Because she just didn't... She started off so strong with the Shaka Khan. And then just, like, no thoughts were formed in that head. And we've all been there. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Where you're speaking and, like, all of a sudden, like, you just go blank. But for almost all of us, it doesn't happen on international television.
Well, none of us have the opportunity to be on international television, darling.
I loved the idea. I think that if it went as planned, she could have been, you know, near the top, because it was so different and so funny from like the beginning, but it just kind of fell apart.
You're beautiful. Don't let anybody tell you different. Namaste.
God, also, they loved her look, and I thought her look was like fine.
I liked her look. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like,
I wish she like cool. came out as like Hamburger Mary or something. I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what I do want to say? Girl, okay, Michelle Visage, I don't know why this pissed me off so bad, but in her critiques of Mayhem Miller, she said, I think you had such a wonderful idea. It just kind of fell flat. Girl, say it to her straight. You forgot your words, and it just flopped. Like, don't say, well, it just kind of fell flat. You know what I mean?
You wanted her to be a bitch. You wanted her to say, absolutely, you were the worst I've ever seen. I'm considering quitting my job because you made me sit through that shit.
Well, it doesn't really matter because it's not your hair or whatever. Well, what did she say to the door? That doesn't really matter. No, but it's just like, I wish she just didn't beat around the bush. Like, don't tell her it felt kind of flat. Like, I don't know, like, just be straightforward. Like, yeah, you know, you kind of flopped a bit. You know, that sort of thing. Don't want her to be mean. I want her to be constructive and say, like what you said, like, we've all been there, but I don't know why. I'm just like, she didn't fall flat. I'm sorry, babe. She fell through the floor.
I feel like it's kind of like a respect thing. Like, she is so beloved just in the drag community. She's a staple of LA drag.
Right.
And this was a monumental flop, but we all know it. Like,
right.
I think part of it is like, we don't need to like,
hammer it in.
While she's down.
You sucked, Mayhem. You forgot your words again. You you know drag.
We saw the chakra and it was cursed.
Your chakras are blocked.
So she's getting a cold case, but yeah. You know.
I'm gonna give her a cold case.
She's Mayhem Miller.
Right. She'll be fine. She's going to do well. Like, I don't think she needed UK versus the world at all. I think she was there to, like, have fun, enjoy herself, mm-hmm. and just never trust a fart.
She took the whole thing very well. She did. You know.
She was a good sport about it.
Yeah.
I am just left a little disappointed. Like, it's just, like, heartbreaking to see her sort of trip up the first episode. You know, after we had so many hopes for her. We talked about it in our video. Like, I think she just needed to, like, find this fire and reclaim her time. It's just unfortunate that this is how it sort of shook out for her. But, you know, there's nothing really we need to say. We don't need to kick her while she's down. She's taking it really well on Twitter, too. She's cackling on Twitter.
According to you, there's more things that should be said.
No, you're taking that wrong. You're taking that the wrong way. That's not what I said. I'm saying be honest. I'm saying be honest.
Okay, up next we have our other American queen, Scarlet Envy, who is, you know, a lot of people are talking about because she was bottom three, and I thought she was going to be top three. When she was called, you know, for critique, I'm like, oh, Cherise is bottom three, Scarlet's top three.
I did not have the same reaction. I thought Scarlet was going to be the bottom three because Cherise was there. I was like, Cherise is probably going to be in the top, Scarlet in the bottom. But
so she does a live singing number where it's like a comedy number, and then on the runway she does Mount Rushmore, and it's in reference to a movie that she likes, and I don't remember what the movie. I've never seen the movie.
It was reference to a movie.
Yeah, she said it's based off of. I cannot remember. She's like, it's one of my favorite movies. I'd never seen it, so I don't know where like which part of this is referencing that. But beautiful gowns, lovely gowns.
Yes. The look didn't have any, like, stars or stripes on it or anything, right?
No, it's pink and purple and gold. And
my point in saying that is I just didn't think the dress matched the headpiece. Like, the headpiece is obviously the statement. Like, the dress just seems like a dress she had.
Yes.
And wore that, you know?
Well, and I obviously don't know what she's referencing, so maybe this is all, you know...
Right, we might just be shooting the breeze here.
Yeah, but I wish she did something kind of like Pythia's finale look, where she did like a stone-inspired dress. Like, that would have been so cool.
Right. If she, like, came out there and painted herself gray, and, yeah, like Pythia, you know, like, if she painted herself gray...
I mean, Melinda Verga has been doing that for years, so...
Derek! Derek! Oh, my God.
Not too much on Mother Melinda, sorry.
Yes, careful now, careful. You're so mean.
It was a joke!
What a crazy thing to say out loud.
We have fun here. We say jokes.
No, see, this is just my redemption doing arc.
I'm used to doing this with Kayla, who's bitchier than I am, so I need to, like, revert to my nice guy energy.
I'm going to let you be the mean one.
Well, I guess I'm proving it.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to point out every time you're mean so people forget when I say something mean.
I don't care. I loved Scarlett's talent show. I loved it. I thought it was so smart. It was so funny. She had the best vocals of the night, the best live vocals. The Jujube joke was so funny. She was ahead of the curve on the, like, everyone's talking about snatching the crown joke that everyone's been saying, like, the last month or so. And she looked so good.
Yeah, she was a very, like, high safe for me. I would have put her a safe, but, like, very much, like, she was, like, fourth or fifth place for me. But, unfortunately, we live in a universe where every single Drag Race judge has a personal vendetta against Scarlet Envy. And they want to see her burn, suffer, cry, chance.
I actually preferred her All-Star 6 talent show with the bubbles. Like, that is one of my favorites ever.
She should have won that. Yeah.
And I was hoping that maybe she would get, like, a, like, redemption from that. Like, we'll put you in the top now because, like, we should have done that over Pandora fucking box last time we did this. What really, I think, annoyed me is I feel like this was planned from the jump because she makes a joke about Michelle. And it's, like, a good Michelle joke. And they cut to Michelle stone-faced. She's like, okay, whatever, bitch.
Which one?
I don't remember the exact joke.
Michelle was laughing at it.
No, I literally wrote down, not Michelle straight-faced after the joke.
No, because it was like don't look Michelle Visage straight in the eye.
Yes, and I thought she laughed. No, cut to Michelle literally just like, okay. And you know, Michelle cackles at any joke that anyone right. says about her. And for her to like not laugh, I was like, oh, so like she's not vibing with this, but
right.
she should be, so.
So we don't like to have fun here, is what I'm hearing.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think it was probably from the jump that they were like, we're not going to be featuring Scarlet Envy in this talent right. show.
It's not even like a, I don't think they planned it from the beginning, but they just went in the season with like, we don't care about Scarlet Envy.
No, we're like, and, you guys like right. this bitch, so we'll bring her back, but we're not going to
right.
feature her in we'll the episode. The,
we will do the bare minimum and cast her again, I suppose, if you guys care so much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to do anything beyond that. Sorry.
She looks so good in the confessional. I love her with short hair.
I do, too. I do, too. I think that was a good choice on her part. I can't believe it's been 5 years since season 11. Like, what do you mean Scarlet Envy is 30 now? That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but according to you, she's an old, wrinkly-ass bitch because Keita Minaj looks 30, apparently. I'm going to give Scarlett a closed case.
Yeah. Last up, the question remains. Wait, before we do,
can I go take a piss, girl?
Oh, my fucking God. You don't have a catheter in? That's what Derek, professionals do. But okay.
Unlike some of us, I don't live and breathe Drag Race.
Says the man who watches 30 more franchises than I do.
Yes, but Drag Race isn't my job, because I have a day job.
I'm employed. Okay, so last up, the question remains, tea, a coffee.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh. So she does a live singing performance of Read My Lips, her hit single, streaming on Spotify. And then on the runway, she does a Nigerian/UK mashup of a gown.
I loved her runway. Yes. I loved it a lot, actually.
The little teacup show. In the center.
Yes, it was so good. Like, just like a little mashup of like the UK she was like, and her Nigerian culture.
She literally was like, this is the first time I've ever looked good on the runway.
I love a self-aware queen. I loved her when she said, yes, my favorite thing about the UK is me. Loved it.
Love her.
But the talent show, I'm sorry, I didn't like it. I thought the song was good, but I don't know if you picked up, there seemed to be like a lack of energy almost.
She looked really nervous. She looked very she did. Nervous.
Yeah, she had a couple of moves, like when she made a little kick. But it was just like a little shy kick, you know, like a teeny little kick. I might have put Tia Coffee as bottom three, maybe. I wouldn't have put her in the bottom two, not at all. But she was low safe for me.
I think I would do Jomber's bottom three because I liked Tia's runway a lot better than Jomber's runway.
Yeah, true, fair.
But yeah, I mean, there's so much like. Love for Tia Coffee, and I think there's a lot of people rallying around her this season, so I hope that she gets over the nerves and does well, because she is the narrator. She is so charming and so funny, and I hope that we get a season of Tia Coffee and she doesn't kind of go home early.
Yeah, I very much agree. I think she's gonna pick up some momentum soon. I do. It just like it might just be like the first episode jitters.
Well, next episode is the ball.
Stop, I forgot. I forgot.
I hope Miss Girl has taken a sewing class or 7 or 8.
Oh, no. I forgot about that. But she's going to be giving us a dress made of materials that is on her body.
Yes. Yeah. They're making ball gowns, which I'm very excited for. But also, yes. She kind of wore a ball gown this episode, so
she'll have a creative eye to like make it.
Yeah.
She'll have a creative eye for that. I think she'll be able to do that no problem.
Yeah.
Well, at least to come up with a different idea. I don't know about making it, actually. I'm going to give her an open case.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my least favorite talent shows, but she had one of my favorite runways.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her entrance look because it was like a 2.0 of her original entrance look.
Yes.
So I think that evens out to open case. So we have our top two of La Grande Dame, a Marina Summers, and they have to choose between Mayhem Miller and Gothy Kendall to go home. Now, in deliberations, Mayhem offers both of them an alliance.
Girl, she went about it all wrong. I'm sorry. I don't know if this would have worked, but if I were in Mayhem's shoes, I would have looked them both in the eyes and said, listen, we're on Drag Race UK versus the world. We need to beat the UK bitches.
Yes.
And any chance we got.
Yes.
Like that, it shouldn't have been, I will create an alliance with you personally. I would have said, we need to create an alliance against the UK queens. I'm sorry. They should have turned it into an us versus them. They should have.
Yes. Yes. Well, because there's more UK girls than anyone else.
Exactly. And we already know they're bound together. And I'm sure the other girls who are in the workroom said, like, even if they didn't overhear that conversation, I'm sure they all know they're probably going to look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, girl, we gotta like, team up here.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta kick their ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're right. She went about it the wrong way. But I'm glad that she strategized and didn't just kind of, like, throw in the towel like she did on All Stars 5.
Yeah.
It was really nice getting more Mayhem because she is so charming. She's so fun, especially in the confessional. I think she's better in more relaxed settings than she is in, like, the challenges.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just, like, it was fun to see her being like, well, maybe potentially I could return the favor.
I'm open to appliances.
Appliances? Oh, my God. I was about to say something shady, but I shouldn't.
No, you have to, because I can't be the only one being an asshole.
Okay. I don't want to say it. I really appreciate the idea of Mayhem offering to return the favor if she saved, as if she would win a challenge if she stayed.
Listen, if she got to do like a table talks, that's where she would win.
I could see that.
She's never been able to do a challenge that's like just be you. She's always doing like acting or something like that where she's not as good. So they come back to the main stage and La Grande Dame and Marina Summers lip sync to, it's called Dreamer?
Yeah.
Believer?
Yeah.
Dreamer? Something like that.
It's Dreamer. I'm a dreamer.
It was a cute song. It was a cute like 90s spot.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very good for the premiere.
Listen, Marina in her red version of the Rain on Me Lady Gaga music video look. I wasn't even looking at La Grande Dame. Like, my eyes were fixated on Marina from the first millisecond until the second the song ended.
Yep. Marina is a born-again performer. She knows how to perform in any situation.
Is La Grande Dame a better lip-syncer than she showed this episode?
So, I think La Grande Dame is really good with, like, ballads. She wasn't, like, the best lip-syncer on France 1. She was never in the bottom, but they did, like, a lip-sync tournament for the finale. She did, like, passable in both of those lip-syncs. Like, she lip-synced twice in the episode before the finale. She did passable in both of those, but nothing, like, crazy. But in her finale, the top three lip-sync to Maria Sersen, I think she absolutely did spectacular. So anyways, my point being, I think in a lot of ballads, if she's like able to stand there, look pretty, show a lot of emotion, she's able to do that. But like for like a pop song where she has to dance, you know, I wouldn't say so. She's good. I like to say she's good at everything except maybe lip-syncing, you know.
So Marina sends home Mayhem Miller and Mayhem becomes the first out, which sucks because like,
yeah,
she doesn't have the best legacy for this show. And I was excited. She had her best promo look.
Derek, who would you have picked?
I would have 1000% sent home Gothy because there's four UK bitches. It's UK versus the world.
Yeah.
BBC is airing this show and it's in their best interest to crown someone from the UK.
Right. Yeah. I've been thinking about this. I don't know who I would have sent home actually, because we have Gothy, who's a UK queen, and I want the UK bitches to lose. I want them to lose their own franchise. And also, there is some merit to like saying, I'm going to send home the queen who already got sent home first, you know? But in that same vein, I could also send home the American queen. The American queens also get carried a lot. Not carried, quote unquote. the American queens are easily going to be like a threat this entire season, no matter what. But this is a girl who's like done this three times and unfortunately has not had the best showing all three times. So I don't know who I would have picked. It's like a lot to consider.
Another like knock against Mayhem is like Gothy did better than Mayhem did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the talent show alone. It was like,
At the end of the day, this was a good episode. It wasn't fantastic. I think it's better than some people are saying it is, because a lot of people are kind of just like not vibing.
Right.
I think the editing is a lot of that. This was not the best editing I've seen on Drag Race.
No. But the vibes are there. I'm excited.
I'm very excited for next week. I love the ball. Jombers is, I'm sure, going to like cause some chaos when she reveals the alliance.
Listen, if next week's the ball, dare I say, La Grande Dame, two wins in a row. I don't know. It sounds like it.
The question also is, will Scarlet Envy be robbed of a third ball being in the top / winning?
Oh, probably. They're going to put her ass in the bottom.
Please.
She's going to come out there and literally recreate a Bob Mackie look to perfection or something. And they're going to be like, well, it's not actually Bob Mackie because you made it. So therefore, you're up for elimination.
This episode made me a stan of La Grande Dame and Marina Summers.
Yes, as you should be. Like, you have to be on the hype train. You do.
Your agenda is being pushed.
Finally. Riggery of Drag Race Philippines Season 1 coming soon, and the unrigging of Drag Race France to follow.
No, literally. Okay, why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you, Matthew?
Well, everyone who's listening with your lovely, lovely little ears, you can find me at Be Like Boy on TikTok. It's Be Like Boy on Twitter. Be Like _Matt_ on Instagram, or I don't really have anything else. Oh, I'm on YouTube now. I forgot about that. I forgot I'm a YouTuber now. Or you can find me on YouTube at Be Like Boy. I forgot I do YouTube now.
And you guys probably are already following me, so who cares?
Unfortunately.
So this UK vs. the World will come out on Mondays, and season 16 for the podcast will come out on Tuesdays, barring that there's not a rescheduling recording. But that is a double podcast for the next 8 weeks. So
yes, just as soon as you got out of the workhorse of Drag Duel, now you're back in it with two podcasts.
I feel bored now. Like, I went from, like, 70 hours a week putting into Drag Duel to, like, oh, like, I have nothing to do. So maybe I need some, like, it's like when people retire and then they're like, ew, I'm bored. Let me get a job at, like, the ice cream shop down the street. Okay, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Ciao. Bye.